Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sochim Daf Ches. And don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarking@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 21 lines from the top of Daf Ches. If it's easier for you, just notice in the lower half of the narrow lines of the Gemara, opposite the Tosfos Dibur Maaser Halacha, you'll find a two dots where there's a quote from the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, which had said, Kol mokim she'ein machnisen bo chometz ein tzorech bedika. The Mishnah had specified that places in one's house that one ordinarily does not bring into such a location chometz, so that kind of place would not need to be checked. On the side of the Gemara, under our topic heading, you can see we have a nosei where we've written Makomos Shonim, different places. In other words, the Gemara will discuss different places in one's domicile, Shetzrichen or Lotzrichen Badiko, that do or do not require checking. The Gemara opens up with a question. Kol Mokom Lasuye Mai. The Mishnah adds a word, a short word, two letters, the word Kol, all places. The Mishnah could have conceivably said, Mokom Shein Machnis Bo Chometz Ein Tzorech Badiko, a place. What is referred to or what is included by the expression every place? This is a standard procedure when learning Gemara, and the Gemara notices that the Mishnah used an inclusion type expression like the word kol, or sometimes you see the word klal. What is being included? So that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, La suye ha detana rabbanan. The Mishnah's intention is to include that which is featured in the following Tanaic source. Now, before we begin the source, we have some markings that we want to take note of. On the side under the Mivneh heading, you notice a house marking and a bow tie, and there will be some dotted underline use. These are havlotos. These are attempts to highlight kedei lirois hastiros, in order to appreciate the seeming contradiction that we will encounter b'chorim regarding the need to check holes, b'mitos regarding a matter concerning beds. So we now continue in the Gemara. We are asking what are other places that are not required to be checked. Chorei bayis ha'elyonim v'hatachtonim. These are holes in the wall. Not to be confused with the expression a hole in the wall, but these are holes that are in a wall, and elyonim means they're located high up on the wall, or tachtonim, very low down on the wall. These are places that are not convenient for inserting things, for using these holes as storage spaces. So they're inconvenient for your use. V'gag ha'yetziah. Yetziah is a small attachment to a house. Could be something like a shed or a room, but it has a lower roof than the house, and the nature of the roof is that it's a sloping roof. So the roof of the Yetziah does not need to be checked. V'gag ha'migdal. The top of a migdal is a chest of drawers or a box, but it has a top to it, and the top is sloping. And since it's sloping, Rashi says that the things won't stay on there. The Rashi points out in Gan Kaitziach Pishu Namuch, even though it's low, Hoyo Mishupa, since it's sloping, ain't Sorach Livdok. Avoshar Gan Shalem Lo Mishupoin. Other roofs of their houses and other buildings were not sloping, but specifically the Gag HaYetziah, and Rashi continues with Gag HaMigdal, Shel Eitz, a wooden box, Shenois L'Sochu Kelim V'Oichlim, Tochot Sorkdiko V'Lo Gago. The interior needs checking, but not the top. Again, because it's Meshupa, it's sloping. We continue in the source, V'Refes Bokor. This is a stall in which cows dwell. If there was any chometz there, the behemos, the animals, would have eaten it. The lulin are chicken coops. Likewise, chickens would have eaten whatever chometz might have been there. Matbein is what Rashi calls beis hateven. It's a straw storehouse, and people don't bring chometz into that kind of place. Votzros yain, votzros shemen, storehouses of wine or oil, like wine, a wine cellar or an oil storage facility. Ein tzirichin b'nikah. They don't need checking. People don't bring chometz into those places. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mito hacholekes besoch habayis umafsekes tzricha b'dika. Mito is a bed that's positioned in the middle of a room for the purposes of, let's say, dividing the room. That's hacholekes. It serves as a divider, and mafsekes indicates that there is a gap between the underside of the bed and the floor, so that there is room under the bed, and that area requires checking. That's what the Rav Shimon Gamliel says. Such a thing as tzricha b'dika. Now we raise a seeming contradiction. Viraminu, another Tanaic source, and notice the same markings appear for the purpose of highlighting this seeming contradiction. Chor shebein odom lechavero, a hole that appears in a wall between two neighbors. In other words, you have, let's say, what we call a semi-detached house, where there's a common wall between the two houses, and there's a hole in that wall. So according to this source, it seems that the hole is running through and through. Zeh bodek ad mokom shiodo magaz, v'zeh bodek ad mokom shiodo magaz. Each neighbor checks into the hole as far as his hand will reach. It's a thick wall where it's the thickness of the wall is longer than two arm lengths. So each one checks as far as his arm can go, and that's it. Vashar mevatlo belibon. Whatever remains, or is the distance between the two arm lengths, one will null in his heart. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Mito hacholekes besoch habayis, a dividing bed, v'eitzim vavonim sidurim tachtel, and there are wood and stones that are set up underneath it, umafsekes, and there's a gap between the bottom of the bed and the floor. Eino tzricha b'dika. There is no need for checking. Well, we can see here kashya mito amito, kashya chayrin achorin. We see a contradiction regarding the holes. According to the first source, the holes don't need checking. The second source says they do. And in the first source regarding the bed, there was an indication that underneath it there's a need for checking. And in the second source, there is no need for checking. You'll notice that we have we've also used a dashed underlining to highlight the differences. So the Gemara points out, kashya mito amito, kashya chayrin achorin. The Gemara responds. Now the word kashya means it seems to be a difficulty between the two sources regarding the beds and similarly regarding the holes. The Gemara answers, chayrin achorin lo kashya. Regarding the seeming whole issue, there is no contradiction whatsoever. Ha b'iloi uvatatoi. Iloi means upper ones, toi lower ones. Those are what we described in the first source. The holes in the wall were very either high up or very low down, inconvenient for you, so there's no suspicion that chometz might have been inserted there. The ha b'mitsoi, the source that says holes do need checking, where each neighbor checks until his arm reaches, that's a hole at mid-height, which is useful, comfortable for use. Mito amito lo kashi, as far as the beds are concerned, there's also no contradiction. Ha de medalia, ha de mitzi. Medalia means high up. In other words, if the gap between the bottom of the bed and the floor is great, so that's convenient for use. If the gap is limited, there's just a very little space between them, it's not useful, so it doesn't need checking. The Gemara asks, the oitzros yayin ein tzorach bedika, is that really so, that wine cellars don't need to be checked, v'hatanya? Before we go on, you can just note on the side, we have on the inside margin, we have written in parentheses, Rishima Chalkiz, a partial list, mekomos nosafim le'otzros yayin v'shemen ha'muzkorin v'gemorah v'inyan v'dika. You'll see in the course of the Gemara a number of other places, in addition to the wine and oil storage areas, other areas that seem to require bedika, and we've listed them. Bay Dogim, it's a fish storehouse, and Bay Milchi, where people keep salt. Bay Kiri is a place where people keep wax and candles. Bay Tzivi is a wood storage area, and Bay Tamri is a place where people store their dates. That having been said, we are asking a question regarding wine storage areas. We said above that Otsros Yayin, and you can actually take advantage of the arrow that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you will align this with the arrow just above. In the source before, it indicated Otsros Yayin don't need checking, and here we are going to bring that into question. So the Gemara asks, V'Otsros Yayin Ein Tzorach Bedika, V'Hatanya, do we not have the following source, Otsros Yayin Tzorach Bedika? Otsros Shemen Ein Tzorach Bedika. In this source, you see that Otsros Yayin do require checking, contrary to what we saw above. As far as the oil storage facility is concerned, the two sources jive with one another. So the question having been asked, the Gemara answers, Hocho v'mayaskino b'mestapek. Mestapek is a word that means when to draw from something. Practically speaking, if you're dealing with a wine cellar that people in the course of their meals will send someone to bring another cup of wine, another bottle of wine from that area. And since it's taking place in the middle of the meal, it could very well be that you'll send what the Rashi calls the shamash, the butler, the waiter, to fetch you another bottle of wine, and he's eating his sandwich while he's going down into the wine cellar. Well, that creates the problem. So the Gemara asks, if you're talking about mistapek, where it's a situation where you're drawing from it during the meal, ihachi shemen ami, why not say the same thing with regard to the oil storage area? The Gemara says, shemen yesh keva lachila. With regard to oil, there is you don't ever run into a situation where you're going to draw oil during the middle of the meal. And the reason is very simple, because when people are preparing their food and they need oil for cooking or baking or frying or whatever, they know how much oil they need at the food preparation point in time, and they draw all their oil before they even start the meal. It's already used. Whatever oil they'll need, they've already drawn it from the store facility before the meal, so there's no drawing of oil during the meal. That's yesh keva, there's a fixed amount. However, yayin ain keva l'shtia. When it comes to drinking in the course of a meal, today you might drink a small amount of wine, and tomorrow's meal at the same time of day you might want to drink a lot of wine, so that you can't base yourself on the amount of wine you drank yesterday and pull that amount of wine out before the meal and just rely on that. As we said, people might want to drink more wine in the course of the meal, so there's no fixed amount, hence there is this chashash in a case where you're dealing with a wine cellar that people draw from during meals. Tony Rabbi Chia, Osu Otsros Shechar B'Bavel, they considered halachically the beer storage areas in Bavel ka'otsros yayin be'eretz Yisrael b'mistapek, like the wine cellars in Israel, in the case of wine cellars that you draw from during a meal, and hence the beer cellars or the beer storage areas in Bavel are treated the same way and will require bedikas chometz. Omar Rav Chisda, bei dogim ein tzorach bedika. Bei dogim, this is, say, a place where one keeps his fish. That place does not need checking. V'atanya tzrichen bedika, but is there not a source that says that they do? Lo kashya, there is no contradiction. Ha baravavri, ha bezutri. If you're dealing with large fish, so there's no need for checking that, because that, like we said before, by the oil, yeshla and keva, there's a fixed. When you think of a large fish, you know that that's all you will need for the meal you will be preparing and serving. You're not going to draw in the middle of the meal if what you happen to be serving is a large fish. However, if what you're serving are small fish, so there's no fixed amount, and therefore people will, in the middle of the meal, go to the storage facility holding the small fish and draw from there. Hence, necessitating bedikas chometz. As we said before, because when someone wanders into these places or is directed to these places in the middle of a meal, he might do so with his sandwich in his hand, and that is what requires the bedikas chometz. Continuing in the Gemara, more areas. Omar Rabo Bar Ravuno, Bei Milchi, Uvei Kiri, Tzorech Bedika. Salt storage areas and wax storage areas. Wax is a place where candles were kept. That requires bedika. Omar Rav Papa, Beit Tzivi uBeit Tamri, Tzorech Bedika. Wood storage facilities and date storage facilities require bedikas chametz. And when we encounter these rules, you can make the assumption that the same logic applies to these places, that there's a relationship between the requirement of checking for chametz resulting from the possibility that in the middle of a meal one went into these places to draw from their contents. Tana. Before we begin the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note on the side where we feature a triangle. These will represent Shnei Deos Lefarish Mahu Mipnei HaSakona. We're going to see a Tanaic source that makes reference to the non-necessity, to the patur of checking certain areas because of the sakona, because of danger. Shebeik voisov, because of this sakona, ein luchuyev livdok. He doesn't have to check for chametz. Later in the Gemara, a diamond will appear, but when we get to that, we'll feature what its purpose is. So we continue now in the Gemara. Tana, ein mechayben aso lachnis yodo lechorin luzdokin livdok. One is not expected to insert his hand into holes and cracks to check for chometz because of danger. My sakana, what danger are you referring to? And you can see we use a double underline here, as we do often, to highlight stages in trying to figure out what that means. So, what is sakana? E nemo. And here we encounter the first triangle, and you can see we also call this number one to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and a second suggestion will be found at the second line from the top of Omid Beis. So in response to what might be sakona, so if you say, I nemo mitnei sakonas akrov, that the danger is a danger of a scorpion stinging you, ki mishtamish hechi ishtamish, how are you using these holes in the first place? In other words, if you're fearful that you're dealing with checking the hole for you're fearful of a scorpion attack while checking for chametz, well, how are you putting the chametz in there in the first place? Lo tzricha denofal. The reference here to not needing to check because of sakonas akrov is because the wall fell down, and in the heap that's there, there is the sakonas akrov, so that when I was using it, so there was no akrov, but as a result of the wall falling down, so that invites, we'll say that invites the scorpions, and assuming that of course an akrov is translated as a scorpion, and hence you are exempt from checking. Well, the Gemara asks, e nofal, if you're dealing with something that collapsed, loma li badika, why do you have to check to begin with? In other words, why do I have to say that there's an exemption because of the sakonas akrov? For Hatnan, we have the following teaching: chometz shenof lo mapolis, chometz upon which there fell a mapolis. Mapolis is something that might be translated as an avalanche or a crumbling wall. Hare hu kemivur. It's considered as if it is destroyed. So you have an automatic exemption by the fact that it is under a mapolis. It's under a pile or a pile of rubble. So once again, the question is, why would the source teach me about an exemption based on the danger of an akrov when there's an automatic exemption by virtue of the fact that it's inaccessible, it's under a heap? The Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of the mapolis upon the chometz, where there is an automatic exemption, she'ein hakelev yochol lechapes akrov, the heap is deep enough or high enough that a dog wouldn't be able to scratch away and get to the chometz. Haha, in the case where in the source that we said that there's an exemption for checking the chometz that had been in holes in a wall that's now collapsed, and that exemption is because of the danger of an akrov, is a case where hocha kishakelev yochol lechapes akrov. You don't have the mapolis exemption because you're dealing with something that's not a very deep pile, and as such, a dog could get to it. But nevertheless, even though a dog could get to it, you are still exempt because of the fear of encountering an akrov, a scorpion. The Gemara asks, V'ha Omar Rebbe Lozer, Shluchei Mitzvah Einon Nizokin, why do you introduce at all the issue of danger of Akrav when there's a principle introduced by Rebbe Lozer that people who are on the mission to fulfill a mitzvah are not subject to danger, Einon Nizokin, they're not damaged, they're not hurt. So before we continue in the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading on the side. It's where we feature a diamond, and we have written Tshuvos LaSheila. These are answers to the question: Bohal Shluchei Mitzvah Eino Nizokin. People sent on a mission to fulfill mitzvah are not subject to danger. So we continue now with responses to that particular question. Omar Ravashi Shemo Toivad Loi Machat V'Asi Lune Basra. Rashi says, second line from bottom, Shema Tevelo Machat, Kodem Lachem. We're talking about someone that had lost a needle. We talk about a needle in a haystack. Here's the needle in rubble. And he had lost a needle over there. And now it's the 14th of Nisan. It's time to check for Chometz. And we're afraid that, as Rashi says, V'osi Hashtal Yuneh Basra. And now, while he's checking the Chometz, he's going to check for his needle. He's going to search out his needle. But came in the Miskave in Afle Machad, since he has in mind his needle also. So he's not exclusively dedicated to the Chometz checking, but he also has this in mind. Lav Shliach Mitzvahu. He's not. Maybe we're not going to term him as a Shliach Mitzvah Nizok, and hence he is subject to endangerment. The Gemara responds, "V'chi hai gavno lav mitzvahu." Is such a situation not a mitzvah where he has an intention for fulfilling the mitzvah plus a personal interest as well? Is there a problem with that? Does that somehow remove it from the classification of being a mitzvah? For Tanya, we have the following source which indicates quite the contrary. Ha'oimer sela zulit stoka b'shvil sheyichya b'ni o she'eya ben ha'olam haba. Someone who makes a dedication of charity. And he says, I am dedicating this charity on condition that my son continues to live. Maybe he's a sick child and he wants to give this charity, and in its merit his son should live, or he does so with the intention of he meriting a portion in the world to come. So we have someone who is doing a mitzvah, he's giving the tzedakah, and at the same time he has a personal interest, as was expressed. And what does it say at the top of Omid Beis? Harezet Tzadik Gomor. He is a completely righteous individual. So what's the problem then with searching for the needle while you're searching for the chametz? So once again, why is there any concern about the checking of the pile of rubble because of Sakonas Akrov? There's no Sakona. Is he not still classified as Shluchei Mitzvah Eino Nizokin? And just because he has some kind of personal interest as well, that doesn't remove him from that classification. So go ahead and check check the pile, and there should be no Akrov concern. By the way, when the Gemara says at the top, Harezet Tzadik Gomor, it means he's a Tzadik Gomor with regard to this matter of the stoka that he's giving. And we don't classify him as doing something what's called Shelo Lishma. It's considered Lishma, and you have a personal interest attached to that. So there's no problem. When we say there's no problem, we mean there's no problem vis-a-vis the fulfillment of the mitzvah, but that does create a problem of why not insist on the person checking the rubble, and there should be no fear of the akruf because of shluchei mitzvah, ain't on nizokin. So the Gemara answers, Dilma boser the bodak osi lene basra. What we are fearful of is that after he finished all his checking for the chometz, he will then start checking for the needle. So we anticipate this kind of behavior, and we say don't get started, because by getting started and you'll have this needle checking in mind afterwards, you'll come to endanger yourself. Rav Nachman bar Yisuk Omar, Mishum Sakonas Hanochrim Uflimo Hi. This is a second triangle, so that this is a second explanation as to what the source meant when it said that you don't check the holes and crevices because of a danger. What danger? Danger of the Gentiles. Uflimo. Flimo is the name of a Tana, and it's in accordance with Flimo's teaching, Desanya, Chor Sheben Yehudi Larmoi, a hole that is between two houses, between a Yehudi is a Jew and Armoi is a Gentile. Bodek ad mokum shiyodo magaz, v'sham mevat lo b'libo. This we saw earlier. You check until how far your hand reaches in, and the rest you are to mevatel, nullify. However, we want to focus on this shita. Flimo, Omar, kol asmo eno bodek. You don't have to even get started checking the hole that you share in a common wall between you and a Gentile. My sakana, so what's the danger? Inemo sakonas kshofim. If there is a fear that you will be charged with black magic, imagine you are on the other side of the wall, and you're looking through, you notice through the wall there's a candle and someone's eyeball at the other end. That looks, if you're a non-Jew, that looks like some form of witchcraft. And you could be charged. The Jew could be charged with that. So, is that the issue here? Is that the sakona? Well, then, ki ishtamish hech ishtamish. If that were the consideration, then how was he using the hole in the first place by putting things into the hole? The Gemara says, that's no question. Hasam ki ishtamish, in general, when he is using the hole as a storage area, ki, when he's using it, yamama unahora, it's daytime, it's during the day, and there's a lot of light. The lo masik adaite, and the goy isn't going to, the Gentile isn't going to even think about some form of witchcraft. Hocha, but here in the case of Bedikas Chometz, leilo, it's first of all, it's nighttime, ushroga, and there's a candle who, ushroga who, umasik adaite, and it's going to occur to him. He's gonna start thinking in his wild imagination that, whoa, what's this Jew doing here? He's casting spells on me. And all of that is imagined by this Gentile, because he sees the candle and maybe the fellow's eyeball at the other end, and you know what that conjures up. The Gemara asks, "V'omar Rebbe Elazar shulchei mitzvah eino nizokin." But did Rebbe Elazar not say that when you're involved with a mitzvah, there's no danger that can befall you? So the Gemara answers a very important principle: Hecha deshchiach hezeko shiny, where there is where danger is common found, where it's shchiach means on a regular or common. So then you cannot rely on this principle of shulchei mitzvah eino nizokin, and we have a the Gemara actually proves this point. Shinemar, and you'll find this point to be very dramatic. This is there's a story involving Shmuel and his mission. He was sent on a mission to anoint David HaMelech as the new king at the time of the previous king Shaul being around. And Vayomer Shmuel, who was sent on this mission by none other than the Almighty himself, Shmuel asked the Almighty, Eich Eilech, how can I go? V'shoma Shaul v'harogeni. Shaul might get wind of what I'm up to and he'll kill me. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem says, and this is so amazing, this is a pasuk, and the point is so amazing. It's the Almighty himself, and the Almighty doesn't say, hey, listen, you know, I sent you on the mission, just rely on me, you'll be safe. No, he doesn't say that. He says, Vayomer Hashem, Eglas Boker Tikach Biodecha, take a calf with you, and you tell Shaul, that tell him a story, basically, that you're on your way to offer a sacrifice. But we see a fantastic principle over here, that we live in what's called Olam Hazeh, and Olam Hazeh has its rules, and part of its rules, there's rules of nature, and in this case it seems to be nature of man is also an issue, not just natural forces, and the Almighty does not like to tamper with those things. It's true he can split the sea, it's true he can bring the 10 plagues of Egypt, but he doesn't, it's not the Kodesh Baruch Hu's first choice there. In those cases he had a particular agenda, but in general, if the Almighty can work in this world, in which what we call in Hester Ponim, in a concealed way, the word Olam comes from the word He'elem. He'elem means something hidden. The Almighty works in this world in what we perceive as a concealed fashion, leaving room for people to think all kinds of thoughts without elaborating on that here. And here you see an incredible illustration of that. Here the Almighty instructs Shmuel to go on a very specific mission. Shmuel mentions his fear of being caught by Shaul, and Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, gives him a plan So what do we see from this? Where there's shchiach hazeka, where danger is common or imminent or expected, you cannot rely on the fact that you are on a mission to perform a mitzvah to be free of danger. Bo minei me rav. The question was asked of Rav Hani b'nei bei rav, the Dairi b'bako. B'nei bei rav are yeshiva students. People, students are studying Torah. And they dwell in a baga. Baga, Rashi says, bikforim shebebika. These are, they dwell in villages that are located in open fields. Mahu lemesi kedma v'shchashuchu lebei rav. Do they have a right to mesi kadmo, is to go early in the morning to their yeshiva, to the place that they are learning, and go and leave the chashucha at night? Is there not a fear of them encountering mazikin, different demonic forces that could injure them? Omar lahu, Rav declares, Nesu, let them come to the yeshiva, Olai, the Al Tzavori. Without translating, it means I take full responsibility. The Gemara asks, Nezel, my, what about leaving? What about going after dark back to their dwellings? Omar lahu, lo yodana. Rav says, I don't know about that. Itmar, well, the Gemara says, in the name Omar Rabbi Elazar, Shluchi Mitzvah Einu Nizokin, people who are on a mission to fulfill mitzvahs, and of course Torah learning is the greatest of mitzvahs, so they are Einu Nizokin, they're not subject to danger, Lo B'Halichosen V'Lo B'Chazirosen, not on their way to the mitzvah, nor on their return from the mitzvah. The Gemara asks, Kiman, based on whom is this Amoraic opinion of Rebbe Lozer? So the Gemara answers, Ki Hai Tana Desanya. It's based on the following Tanaic source. And in this source, you can see we've dashed underlined what we're really aiming for. You see that it says, Bechazora Minayan, that people who are sent on a mission to fulfill a mitzvah are protected by virtue of the fact that they're on the mitzvah mission fulfillment, not only on their way to fulfillment, but on their return from. So the source says, Isi Ben Yuda Omer. Isi is his name. Isi ben Yehuda Omer. He says Klapi Shomra Torah in light of that which the Torah says. This pasuk is in the context of the pilgrimage where people three times a year left their fields, their homes, their families, their cattle, their possessions, and went to Jerusalem. They went to Yerushalayim, and it says, "V'lo yachmod ishes artzecho." Imagine people from border towns, the men folk who were essentially the defenders of the land. The men folk would all clear out of all of the cities of Israel, including all the border cities. Is there not a fear that the enemies will get wind of this? The Torah wasn't some type of secret document. If the Torah is translated many many languages, would they not know that there is such a thing as the pilgrimages to Jerusalem? And would they not covet the land and present immediate threat? Well, the pasuk says, "V'lo yachmod ish es artzecha." No man will covet your land. Malame, this teaches us, Shetehe, Poroscho Roya Ve'efer. Your cow will be grazing. Ve'efer means out in the fields. Ve'ein chaya mazikoscha, and wild animals will not attack them. You don't have to be there to watch your animals. Go on Aliyas Aregel. Go to Yerushalayim. Tarnagoscha menakeres ba'ashbein chudem mazikoscha. Your chickens will be pecking away in the garbage heaps, which was commonplace for chickens, and no chuldo will damage them. Chuldo is an animal that attacks chickens. Bahalo dvarim kavachomer. And now, is it not something that we can say through Kal V'chomer logic? Uma elu shedarkon lizok, einon nizok. And mind you, people that these things, the darkon, these animals and chickens, which are commonly fall victim to different danger, endangering forces, einon nizokin. They are not going to be hurt. B'nei odam shein darkon lizok. Human beings, which are not commonly, they don't as commonly fall victim as animals and chickens do. It's ain darkon lizok al achas kamo v'kamo. So all the more so, there is no need to worry about leaving your family, your homes behind. Ain li ela b'halicha. Well, so far that's as far as going up to Jerusalem, so that your family, other people that aren't going on Aliyah Sirigo, will be protected by the Almighty, and they don't need you to be there. The Chazorah Minayin, on the way back from Aliyah Sirigo, from where do you know that they're also protected? Talmud Lomar, Ufonisa Baboker Vahalachto Olecha. Again, a pasuk in the context of this is leaving Yerushalayim and going back home. Malame, this shows me Shetelech V'Timsa Olecha B'Shalom. It says Uponisa Vahalachto Olecha. You will go, Olecha is your home. You will go and you will find your home, meaning you'll find your home intact. V'Chimei Achar De'afilu B'Chazira. Well, once I have this pasuk, this last quote of when you go back, you will find, when you leave the mitzvah, basically, when you leave Yerushalayim, you leave your Aliyas HaRegel, and you go back home, you'll find everything in place. So that's guaranteed in the Torah. Ba'alicha lomali. What do I have to tell you about on your way there? That would be obvious. If you're on your way to do the mitzvah, if on the way when you're finished with the mitzvah, you're walking now not to do the mitzvah, you're walking from having done the mitzvah, you're protected all the more so on your way there. So what do I need a source to tell me? Why does the Torah have to go out of its way to tell me about someone who's on his way to Aliyas HaRegel that he'll be protected? That's obvious. The Gemara says, well, Lichud Rav Ami, I need that teaching for Rav Ami. The Omer of Ami, Ko Adam Sheish Lo Karka Oilu L'Regel, Shein Lo Karka Ein Oilu L'Regel. The Pasuk has said at the beginning of the source, you could see it says V'lo Yach Morishes Artzecha. They will not covet your land. So that indicates to Rav Ami that only if you are a landowner are you obligated to Aliyas HaRegel. If you're not a landowner, you're not obligated in the mitzvah of Aliyas HaRegel. We should just note it's a parenthetical point, but it's so significant. It serves as a pillar of the truth of Torah. The Torah is min hashamayim. How in the world can a book be written, we'll call it the Torah, and a guarantee like Aliyas HaRegel, and that the author of the Torah could write, you know, go up to Yerushalayim, all the men folk, all the able-bodied men who essentially guard their property and especially border communities, and don't worry about anything. Unless this was stated by the Almighty himself and the Jewish people heard Matan Torah at Mount Sinai, no one would believe such a thing. Who could possibly make such a guarantee? Ella, the fact is the Torah writes it, and it was written and people accepted it. It must be that this is purely divine. It's such an unbelievably clear illustration of the divineness of the Torah. Let's continue in the Gemara. Amar Rav Oven Bar Rav Ado, Amar Rav Yitzchak. We have on the side of the Gemara under our nose, mivne heading, a crown shape. Dvorim Toivim She'enom B'Yerushalayim. There are this Gemara will mention the very good things that are not in, they're not found in Yerushalayim. Kedei Shanoshim Yalu L'Regel L'Shmo, so as to motivate people to so as to ensure that when people go to Yerushalayim, they are going there with the mitzvah in mind, with mitzvah fulfillment in mind, and not going there only for specifically or exclusively for these other things. And if you scan ahead of the Gemara, you can just spot the crowns. The first one is Peros Genoser. These were luscious fruits, unbelievably sweet, luscious, rich fruits that were found in the northern region in the Galil area of Israel. It was called Genosar area, and those fruits are not found growing in Yerushalayim. And likewise, the hot springs that we know in Tiberias or the Hame Tiberia. In Tiberia, you have hot springs, which are something that people seek out, and they are not found in Yerushalayim. Let's see this now in the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Oven bar Rav Ado, Omer Rav Yitzchak. Mipnei ma ein peros genosar b'shalom. Why is it that peros genosar, these very rich fruits, don't grow in Yerushalayim? Answer, kedei shelo yehi oyli regolim omrim, so that people who are going to perform Aliyas HaRegel should not say il mole lo alinu elo lecho peros genosar b'shalayim dayenu, that if the only reason we went through Shalayim, we went there, was for the fruits, that would be enough. Then says Aliyah shelo lishma, because if someone would state that I went to Yerushalayim only for the fruits, so it would turn out that it's true he physically fulfilled the mitzvah of rising to Yerushalayim, but he didn't have the mitzvah intention in mind, and that reduces the quality of the mitzvah fulfillment. Kayotze bo Omer Rav Dostoy Rav Yanai. Similarly, Rav Dostoy Rav Dostoy, the son of Rav Yanai, says mitnei ma in chamei Tever Yerushalayim. Why are the hot springs of Tiberia not found in Yerushalayim? Why is Yerushalayim not a place that's characterized by having hot springs? Answer, Kadesh Shiloh Yu Oile Regolim Oimrim, so that the people ascending to Shalayim should not say, Il Moli Bo Alinu El Lirchois Bechami Tveru Dayenu. If the only reason we had gone to Shalayim was for the hot springs, that would be enough. The Nimseis, and if that would be their intention, the result would be Aliyah Shiloh Lishmo. Their arising, their pilgrimage would have been without mitzvah intention. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a quote from the Mishnah. It says, the Loma Omru, or Bame Omru, Shnei Shiros B'Martef. Now this is a Mishnah that was, again, from the very beginning of the Perek. It said, the Loma Omru, Shnei Shiros B'Martef, Mokom Shemachnisin Bo Chometz. There is a reference to two rows of barrels, two layers of barrels in a wine storage area that require checking. It says in the Mishnah, why do they require checking? Because it's a place that people, that part, they do bring in their chometz in the middle of a meal. So the Gemara asks, Martef man dekar shmei. Who made any mention of a martef? The Rashi, let us take a look at the Rashi. Martef man dekar shmei, lefotro min habadika. Who mentioned anything about the exemption of needing to check a wine cellar, the komat metanekama of Yomar, that causes the tanekama to question Yomar ubame omru, and the tanekama introduces this phrase with a question, and you don't see anything beforehand that should motivate him into raising a question. Again, if you read the Mishnah, it said, any place that you're not machnis chometz, ain't sarach badika. And then the Tana says, ubame omru, or loma omru, why did they say the two rows in the martef? But no mention was made of martef before that. So the Gemara asks, martef man dekar shmei, who made any mention of it? The Gemara answers, Hachi Komar. Thusly, we have to understand the Mishnah. Kol Mokom Shein Machnisin Bo Chometz Ain Tzarech Bedika. In all places that you don't bring chometz in, they don't require checking. The Otsos Yain, Otsos Shem, and Ami Ain Tzarech Bedika. Storehouses of wine and of oil also don't require Bedika. Now here, so we already mentioned right at this point with this insertion, we see that a martef, which is associated with an otzros yain, is mentioned in the understanding of the Mishnah as a subcategory of a mokum shein machnisin bo chometz. Now that having been mentioned, that gives us right, so to speak, to raise a question about the otzros yain uvame omru shtei shuros b'martef, and regarding what were the two rows of the martef mentioned as requiring checking. That's mokom shemachnisin bo chometz uvemistapik, because those two rows are characterized by mistapik, means, as we saw earlier, drawing chometz from there in the middle of a meal, and hence those two rows or two layers of the martef do require checking. Beis Shammai omrim shtei shuros. Omar Rav Yehuda. What we will see in this sugya, we have under our nosei heading a hesber lebeis shammai beis hillel, ezo shuros shel chovios bo'inon bedika b'martef. Which shuros, which rows require? In our Mishnah back on daf beis, there was a machlokis beis shammai beis hillel. Beis shammai made reference to two shuros al pnei kol ha'martef, and beis hillel had said shtei shuros hachitzonos shein ha'elyonos. So here the Gemara will be explaining their shitos. The Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Shtei Shuros Sh'omru, Min Ha'oretz V'ad Shmei Korah. And we have on the side of the Gemara, you can see we have an illustration. On the margin, there's a cube which represents each box that represents a barrel. So, and you have a door entering the room. So this opinion is saying it's two layers, so to speak, from floor up to ceiling. And as you can see, as shaded in, those two layers of barrels require Bedikas chometz. That's min ha'aretz, from the floor ad shmei korah, up till the ceiling. Rabbi Yochanan Omar shura kemin gam. If you shura kemin gam is a case of the upper layer of barrels. That's one. Gam is a Greek letter that would look like a final chof in Hebrew. It's a right angle. So you have the upper layer, and then the one facing layer that's facing the door, let's say. So you have a right angle of barrels. Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yochanan. We have brises supporting each one of these opinions. Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yehuda, the brises supporting Rabbi Yehuda says, Beishamai Omrim, Shtei Shuros al Pnei Kol Hamartev, Shtei Shuros al Shomro. These two rows or two layers of barrels running across the whole storage area. And these two rows, Minhoretz, the Ad Shmei Korah. They run from floor to ceiling. And that's what you see in the picture. Tanya Kavasei de Rabbi Yochanan. And a brisa supporting Rabbi Yochanan, which was the uppermost layer and the outermost layer, the one facing the doorway, constituting a right angle configuration. So we have a brisa supporting Rabbi Yochanan, Shtei, and it says, Shtei Shuros al Pnei Kol Hamartef. The two layers running across the entire wine cellar, chitzona roa es haPesach, the outer layer faces the doorway, the elyona roa es haKorah, and the upper one faces the ceiling. Shelifnim heimeno v'shelamato heimeno, one row inner and one row lower than that which we just illustrated. Again, shelifnim heimeno v'shelamato heimeno ein tzorach b'diko. That far in, you don't require any checking. Beis Hillel omrim shtei shuros hachitzonos shehen ho'elyonos. Beis Hillel says two rows that are chitzonos, that are outer and upper. And Beis Hillel is a much more limited type of checking. We should have pointed out, if you look carefully in our diagrams, there is a Rabbi Yochanan picture that we have in our diagrams for his explanation of Beis Shammai as well, an upper layer and an outer layer of barrels. Now, we continue with Beis Hillel, who spoke about two rows. Beis Hillel is much more lenient. Omar Rav, Elyona, he speaks about just a row, not a whole layer of barrels, but just one row of barrels. A strip of barrels, if you will. So Amar Rav says, in explaining Beis Hillel, Elyona v'shelamato heimeno, the upper row of barrels. Now, we don't have an illustration of this, but it's not a whole sheet of barrels, it's just one row of barrels. So it's the upper row and the one row right below it. Shmuel Amar Elyona v'shelifnim heimeno. And Shmuel says it is the upper row and one row set in from it, set away from the door, inwards more. My time of the Rav, what is the basis of Rav? Answer, Dayik Chitzonos. He emphasizes the word, he feels that the Tana who authored the Mishnah places emphasis on the word Chitzonos. It means the outer ones. Therefore, Rav spoke about two rows, but they're both outer, both facing the doorway. The Ha Elyonos Kotani, but does it not speak about upper ones? So the Gemara answers, no, the use of the word Elyonos was Limute Tatoi de Tataisa. That means under the under, which would mean that's only to the exclusion of the third strip of barrels, third layer down. The third layer, but the third row down, does not require Badika. Ushmuel Elyona Vishlafim Mehimeno. Shmuel, who said the upper one and the upper row and one row inwards more, inwards meaning away from the door, further into the wine cellar. My Taima, what's his basis? Answer, Dayek Elyonos. He emphasizes the Elyonos aspect, uppermost. So you have the upper corner row, and the one row facing inwards, one row in from that. Ah, the question is, v'hochitzona kotani, but did the Mishnah not use the expression chitzona, outer ones? So how does Shmuel figure that term? How does he explain it when he speaks about the uppermost row and one row inwards more? Well, he explains that as limute gavaiso de gavaiso. When he speaks about outer, when the Mishnah speaks about outer ones, it means the two outermost rows to the exclusion of the third row in facing the ceiling. Rabbi Chiya Toni Kavosei the Rav. Rabbi Chiya teaches a source that matches Rav's approach. V'kulu Tanoi Tanu Kavosei de Shmuel, and all the other Brisa authors teach like Shmuel. The Hilchaso Kavosei de Shmuel, and the Halacha will follow Shmuel. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we could be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.